If you have your Bibles tonight, Micah chapter 2. Now, if you'll notice our PowerPoint's not working, I believe we received a defective bulb. Now, it's under warranty, so Lord willing, we'll get that taken care of soon. So we have to be transported back in time a few years. Hopefully, we'll be all right. At least we got heat and padded pews, so we're not too bad. Tonight, Micah chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading in verse 6. It says, "Prophesy ye not, say to them that prophesy, they shall not prophesy to them, that they shall not take shame. O thou that art named the house of Jacob, is the Spirit of the Lord straitened? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? Even of late my people is risen up as an enemy. Ye pull off the robe with the garment from them that pass by securely, as men averse from war. The women of my people have ye cast out from their pleasant houses. From their children have you taken away my glory forever. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted. It shall destroy you even with a sore destruction. If a man walking in the Spirit in falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people." Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings. As we look at this portion of Scripture this evening, I pray you open up our eyes, our ears, and our heart to your word. Help us as we look at this to get an understanding of your word, but also I pray tonight we'll find some practical teachings that we can just apply immediately to our life, and we can be reminded of you and how you look upon sin. Please bless us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of this lesson tonight is The Guilt of a Nation. Last week at the first five verses, we looked at the demise of a nation. Tonight we're going to see the guilt of a nation. Basically, we're going to look at the root of the problem. We're going to see why the nation declined, why the nation was about ready or prepared for judgment. And as we go through this in our outline, we're going to notice a couple things. First, tonight we're going to see that they were guilty concerning the prophets. Guilty concerning the prophets. And then here in a few minutes, we're going to see that they were guilty concerning the defenseless, those that could not help themselves, as we'll see here in a minute, the poor, widows, some believe, and then even with children. But tonight, to begin with, the first few verses, we're going to notice their guilt concerning the prophets. Notice it says in verse 6, "Prophesy ye not. Say they to them that prophesy, they shall not prophesy to them, that they shall not take shame." You know, first I want you to notice, or I'll mention something to you. The prophets of God were denied. Now in this passage here, what we find is the Lord was telling Micah basically to no longer prophesy. I think what we find in scriptures is that the warnings from God or the word of God, the message from God was coming to an end as far as there would no longer be for these people. Now that's not to say that God was no longer going to bless the Jewish people, but in this situation, well, I believe what had happened is they had pretty much rejected the prophets. They had rejected all that God had already given to them. And so now the prophecy was going to stop. You see, as we think about this passage here, we know in the Old Testament that God had sent prophets to his people. We know at this point in the history of Israel, they had God's word. They had a sufficient amount of God's word to walk with God, to live for God, to look for the Messiah, the coming Savior. They had the information they needed to live correctly before God. By the way, today we have all we need to live correctly before God. God has given us everything we need. He has provided a Savior. He's provided the Spirit to indwell us and empower us, and then he's provided his word that we can learn from and we can grow. And then on top of that, he's provided Jesus as mediator for a prayer life. You see, God has provided everything we need to walk with him and abide with him. Now, God had sent the prophets to the people. They were anointed men of God, and I believe they were given God's message to deliver to the people, or messages on occasion. Now, Micah himself was a prophet, and God's prophets, for the most part, were ignored, and we know that they were often persecuted. You see, the people did not want to hear God's men because they didn't want to hear God's message. That was the problem. They didn't want to hear what God had to tell them. And so they silenced the prophets because they didn't like the message. It was not pleasing to their ears. And since they didn't like the message, they decided to punish the messenger. You see, they couldn't reach up and take care of God, so they went after the messenger. By the way, that's happened through history too. Not just with the Israelites, that's happened down through history ever since Christ has left this earth. Often, God's people have been persecuted, punished, and attacked. The people could do nothing against God as far as the world, so instead they attack God's people. God's churches. And that's where we find in history a lot of persecution. So we find here, really, I think this kind of is a testimony to how wicked they were. And if you'll notice, we read here in verse 6, it says, "Prophesy ye not, say they to them that prophesy that they shall not prophesy, to them that they shall not take shame." And then verse 7, "O thou that art named the house of Jacob, is the Spirit of the Lord straitened?" He says, "Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly?" Notice here, the house of Jacob is believed to be the Jews, the Jewish people. That's the descendants of Jacob, from Jacob to Joseph and so forth on down. And the Jewish people were descendants of Jacob. So basically this message or this passage here was to God's people, the Jews. And notice what he says there in verse 7. The house of Jacob, he says, is the Spirit of the Lord straitened? Now, he challenges them with some questions here, is what he does. He says, is the Spirit of the Lord straitened? In other words, it means hindered or blocked. You know, you think on this, we find here God challenging the people. Basically, I think he's saying to them, it's not my fault, it's yours. Because notice what he goes on to say next. He says, "Do not my words do good to them that walketh uprightly?" And then earlier he said, "Are these his doings?" Speaking of the Spirit, I believe. Now think about this. Here's what we have. We have a sinful, wicked nation that had everything they needed or everything required to live for God, to walk with God, and to please God. Instead, they chose to please the flesh. They chose to live in sin. They chose to rebel. And so they went against God. And now God is going to deal with them in judgment. And notice what God says unto them. He makes it clear that the fault is not on him, but upon them. You know, often when things happen, bad things happen, when something bad occurs in people's lives or even in our nation, you know, there are a lot of people who immediately will blame God. I hear people all the time, "Well, where was God?" As if God were to blame for what just took place. You know, people, for whatever reason, are slow to look within or slow to consider sin and right away want to blame God. In this case, God made it clear, I think, that the reason why they were in trouble was because of themselves, as we'll see here in a little bit. You see, the house of Jacob rebelled against God. They attacked his prophets, the men that he had sent. But even though they attacked his prophets, they still could not stop God. They couldn't hinder the message. They couldn't stop God from doing his work. You see, their actions were against God, but God was going to overcome them. You know, this evening, here's a practical thought for us tonight. You know, there are a lot of people today in our country, in our world, there are a lot of people that would love to take the Bible, every single Bible, and burn them, every single one. There are a lot of people that would love to wipe out Christianity. I mean, there are some people who think it's just that we should get rid of it. But I'm going to tell you what, when that happens or when that thought occurs, they're fighting against God. And God will never be overcome. They may attempt to hinder him, they may attempt to stop him, but God will never be overcome. You know, it's interesting, you read through history, how many prominent men and women attacked God. Of course, they have went into eternity. God's word is still with us today. Churches are still being planted, and God's work continues. You see, God cannot be attacked or God cannot be hindered. And I think that's what we find here. Now, let's talk about the spirit of prophecy for a minute, because in verse 6 he says, "Prophesy ye not, say they to them that prophesy, they shall not prophesy to them, that they shall not take shame." You see, I think the people, because of their sin, because of their wickedness, they were going to lose God's blessings. They were going to lose God's blessings. And the reason is because their hardened hearts, I think, would no longer listen to God. It says there, as we find here, it says that they shall not take shame. You know, there was no interest in God. I believe that the people had gotten to the point where they had no desire to hear the Lord, had no use for it, so they're no longer be blessed with it. You know, sadly today, many people want God's blessings, but they sure don't want God's word. They want all the blessings that God can give, but don't tell me to live by God's word They don't want to live by God's word. They don't want to follow God's commandments. But they sure enjoy His blessings, and they pray for His blessings, and they seek His blessings, but they don't want the word. You know, I guess we can say that that's kind of similar to these people here. They lived for themselves. They sure enjoyed being God's people. They bragged about it. They were proud to be God's people. But they didn't want God's directions, they didn't want God's commands, and they didn't want His prophets or His messages. And so the sad thing is that led to their demise. Now, I think what we find is the people really would know God's displeasure. What I mean by that is, this was God's plan. He was going to be the one that would allow the evil to come upon Him. Now, we talked a little bit about this last week. Not that He was going to be evil and wicked, but He was going to allow this to take place. And He would bring judgment upon the nation. You know, had they walked with God, had they turned to God, repented of their sin, had they heeded the message or the messages from the prophets, you can read through the books of 1 and 2 Kings and you'll find the prophets throughout there. Excuse me. The prophets throughout those two books bringing God's messages. Men like Elijah, men like Elisha, men like Micah, and many of those men being rejected and being attacked. And had they heeded those warnings, had they accepted those messages, I believe God would have blessed them. Instead, they would feel God's wrath, and that's what was going to come. Now, God was the one who chose to end the prophecy. Now, I think that's kind of interesting. It wasn't their rebellion that ended the prophets. It was God's choice to end that. What I mean by that, God had the authority to pronounce judgment upon the people. You know what's interesting is, you know, the 400 years of silence, they call it, from the Old Testament, the last prophet of the Old Testament to Jesus Christ. God was the one who did that. It wasn't the people who said, we don't want any more prophets. It was God who shut down the prophecy. It was God who no longer sent prophets until Jesus Christ came. You see, God has authority in this world. God is the one who really is great, and He is the one who should be feared. This evening, God has given us His Word, His revealed Word. We have it. And God also has put an end to this. What I mean by that is He didn't leave it an open-ended book. You know, you have books sometimes, an author will write a book, and they'll leave it open-ended on purpose so they can write a sequel. And I know, from my understanding, it's probably good writing, you know, have an interesting story and have a sequel. God didn't do that with the Bible. He ended it with the Revelation. And we find that that's it. There's not going to be any more revelation. What is next is Jesus Christ's return. But He didn't leave it open so He can add more books or we can add more books to it. God has given us His revelation and God has put an end to it as far as that's it. You know, as far as there's no more. Now, that's because God has that authority. And that was God's message. Now, we go back to our passage. That's what basically took place here. The people had been given the prophets. I believe they rejected the prophets. And so basically what we find is God was telling Micah, and in this passage here, that there was no more prophecy. They were to not prophesy to these people. Notice it says there in verse 6 again, they shall not prophesy to them, that they shall not take shame. They're no longer going to send the message to these people. Some believe it's because of the shame of the people. Some believe it's a shame that the prophets endured at the hands of these wicked people. Either way, the prophecy had come to an end. Now, what we're going to notice next, and here we see they were guilty of rejecting the prophets. Notice next, they were guilty concerning the defenseless, or some would say the poor. It says there in verse 8, even of late, my people is risen up as an enemy. Ye pull off the robe with the garment from them that pass by securely as men averse, he says, from war. There are three areas I want you to notice how they oppressed the people. First, they oppressed the defenseless. Notice that they mistreated the poor. And that's where we find here in verse 8. It says, even of late my people has risen up as an enemy. Some believe the enemy it's referring to is an enemy against God. Others believe that the passage is just referring to an enemy in general, that they were so wicked that they treated everyone else around them in a harsh manner. But then it goes on to say, ye pull off the robe with the garment from them that pass by securely. And then it says, as men averse from war. Now this passage is believed is referring to the poor. And the reason why many believe this, now this is just what many believe. Sometimes when you get into these Old Testament passages, they have double meanings. But the reason why many believe it's referring to the poor, because it refers to the robe with the garment. In Israel during that time, That's what the people wore. And many of the poor, that's all they had, was that garment. That was it. And they were referred to, from my understanding, as that was their everything. That was like their home. And this passage refers to them taking the garment from those that passed by. And then it says securely, and then it says as men, verse from war. In other words, they did it in a very cruel fashion, as going to war. I mean, it wasn't like they took in there and they, you know, I got it fairly, but they just took it. You know, I think what we find here is that the poor, or those that did not have much, were oppressed by those that were in leadership. And that's, keep in mind, if we go back to the beginning of this chapter, that's what we're talking about. Those that were in power. That's what it talks about. Those that had power. They had power to do what they wanted to do, power to do their wickedness, and power to do their evil works. So basically what we have is there was oppression in the land. And apparently the poor lost all that they possessed. I mean, even their clothing from them. You know, when you think about that, that's really cruel to take the only clothing that someone may have, to take it from them. Now, the poor were defenseless. And you know what? They were easy to prey upon. I believe that's why they preyed upon them. You'll find that in other nations in history, too. The people that with power often prey upon those that are defenseless. You see, the poor had no money or power to provide protection. They couldn't take care of themselves. They couldn't stand up and fight. They were defenseless and mistreated, but God took note. Keep that in mind this evening. You know, there may be nations or people in power that treat those that are defenseless cruel and treat them with disrespect, but God is taking note. God pays attention to all that occurs. Now, before we move on, I do want to remind you of this chapter. Remember the progression. Chapter 1, the people were not right with God. In this chapter, we see that they were not right with each other as well. Once again, I believe that it just carries over. If someone's not right with God, the rest of their relationships are going to be affected. And also, idolatry had replaced God in the nation. We're talking about the 10 tribes of Israel. Idolatry had replaced the worship and service of God. And when a nation moves, when a nation removes God, let me say it this way, when a nation removes God, I believe that nation will decline. It doesn't matter which nation it is. It doesn't matter what power they have or how much they have done in the past. When they choose to remove God, then that nation will begin to decline. Now, when that nation or when any nation chooses to replace God, and I believe that's what's happening in many areas of our world today, in our country, many are replacing God with a false god or with false teachings, then the nation will begin to decay. Not only will it decline, but it'll decay. That's when you'll see the morals and everything else falling with it. And that's what we have in the nation of Israel at the time. They removed God and they replaced Him with idols. And so the nation just began to morally go corrupt and to decay. And we find that with the poor. Now notice in verse 9, it says, "The women of my people have ye cast out from their pleasant houses." I believe that this is talking about, or it may be talking about the widows. That's what many believe, that it's referring to the widows. It says there, "The women of my people have you cast out from their pleasant houses." And it may refer to widows that lost their homes and that were basically just cast out. I mean, that's what we apparently find here. That the wicked or those in power had no compassion for those that were without. And he just cast them out, put them out. They don't need anything. Their homes were coveted. Their land was coveted. So what did they do? They went and just took it and threw them out. You know, once again, nothing occurs without the knowledge of God. I think we find here they had no respect or reverence for God, of course, or for God's word. So it shouldn't surprise us that they oppressed the poor. You know, when people have no reverence or respect for God, and if they're in positions of leadership, it shouldn't surprise us when they treat people in the wrong way because they have no reverence for God. You know, when God's word is refused, then all kinds of wickedness is going to come in. You know, when God's word is not in place or has, I could say, no place in the heart or minds of people, then you know what happens next? Men become the authority. You see, I believe that part of the reason why our country has been blessed, I know that our country hasn't, even you go back to the beginning of our country, not everyone was saved that was involved in the beginning of our country. I understand that. I think most people understand that. But we had a lot of people who respected and reverenced God. Even some that weren't saved, at least they reverenced the Word of God and understood or believed that there was a God, and they respected the Word. And it's interesting, if you look at our country, many of the laws and everything that our country was founded upon was on the Word of God. And a lot of that came from England. A lot of ideas of that came from England, of course. But I think that's why we were blessed, because we had a respect and reverence for God and His Word as a nation, why God has blessed the United States of America. And so what's happened is we have the Word of God, and I believe the reason why we've had good laws and we've had good, I guess you say a blessing to live in a country we live in, is because the Word of God has, in a sense, been the guide for our nation. The laws and a lot of things were based upon this. Now, you think about this. If you throw the Word of God out, if we just get rid of the Word of God and no longer have it, then who decides what's right and wrong? Men and women. And that's what's happening. That's what happened in Israel, and I really believe that's the direction our country is headed. You see, they're getting rid of the Word of God. Of course, it began with getting, we just don't want it in schools because we don't want to, they say, brainwash the children. And then they say, we don't want it here. And next thing you know, if you look, everything of God's is being thrown out. They don't want it anywhere. It's under attack. And so what's happening is when you get rid of the Word of God, then men become the authority. And they decide which laws that they want. They decide which laws they're going to enforce. They decide which laws they're going to get rid of. And you think about this, that's a dangerous situation to be in. Because these same men and women, I can guarantee you this, if they don't want the Word of God, they're also without God. And so they're going to make sinful and wicked decisions, and their laws and everything else is going to reflect that. And the nation will feel that. I think that's what we find in Israel. That's what happened in Israel. They had gotten rid of the Word of God, and they replaced God. And so they had began to do what they thought was right. And by the way, when you do that, that's why sin in a nation can be justified, because God's law isn't there. That's why I think abortion is justified by many in our country, because we don't have God's law anymore. It's just, I don't think it's a bad idea to take a life, or some don't even say it's a life. They just say, I don't think it's a, what they try to do is they try to put it all on the choice of the woman, is what they're trying to do, instead of thinking about the life that they're taking. Anyway, without going too far into that, that's the danger. You see, you can justify sin when you get rid of God's Word. And that's what we find in Israel. I believe they oppressed the poor. They were wicked and cruel because they no longer had respect for God. And so they became the authority. Notice we find next, and this is an interesting passage here. At the end of verse 9, he says, "From their children have you taken away my glory forever." They took God's glory away from the children. Now, here's what I think on this. I don't believe it's referring to salvation, because I don't think anyone can take our salvation. He's not referring to the glory of salvation. What I believe, and this is just my thought on this passage here tonight, I believe that what occurred, now keep in mind, they had removed God, they had replaced God with idols and idolatry, and basically the children in Israel, the children that were God's nation, God's people, were being raised to worship idols. Think about that in Israel at the time. You're going to go back to Micah's day. 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, probably up to teenagers. There were probably some who never, in the land of Israel anyway, who never worshipped God, or never were told to worship God, or taught to worship God, to respect God. They were raised to worship idols. The idolatrous nation. And I think that's what it's referring to. They took the glory. Notice it says there, it says, "You've taken away my glory." He says, "From their children have you taken away my glory," he says, "forever." Now, you think on this. If you raise a nation, and I think we're about ready to find this out, and I'm not a cynic or anything like that, but I think in America, probably in about the next 30, 40 years, if the Lord has not returned yet, we're about ready to find out what it's like to live in a godless generation. And a generation that has been raised to disrespect God, to do their own thing, and unless a revival moves across the land, or unless God intervenes, which He can, then we're about ready to find that out. And that's the direction Israel was going. Their children are being raised to worship idols. The country was filled with rebellion and sin. And here's the sad thing. The children were born free. But you know what? All these children would be raised as slaves because of the sin of the parents. Now think about that for a minute. You see, I do really believe that the choices we make today as individuals, of course as individuals, will affect our children, but as a nation as well. That's why it's important for us to pray. That's why it's important for us to continue to take the gospel out. If not for our freedoms, then how about for our children? How about for our grandchildren? I tell you what, I hope and pray that, you know, 30, 40 years from now when my children are adults, I hope and pray they're living in a free country where they can worship freely. Part of that is us continuing to not only serve God, look to God, but reaching out to the lost. Anyway, their children would be born free, but because of the sin in the land, they would be raised in slavery, and the children would reap what their parents had sown. I will say this, it does matter how you raise your children. It does. And we should raise them after God and pray for them. Pray for our children. And you know, by the way, if your children are adults now, you're still their parent, even though they may not want to admit it from time to time. You're still their parent. And there's one thing I guarantee you can always do, and that's pray for them. Nobody can ever take that from you. You can always take them to God, always pray for them, and encourage you to continue praying for your children. Secondly, you can be there for them. Now, your children may not always make the right decisions or do what you would do, but you can be there for them to encourage them as far as encourage them after God, to be there to counsel them if they ever have questions on something, and encourage you to continue being a parent. Like I said, it changes once they become adults, of course, that's obvious, but you can still be there to be a parent for them and to point them to God. And I tell you what, some of the best parenting probably is done after they leave the house, when you continue to live for God and point them to God as they grow older. And if you have parents that did that, then praise the Lord and thank the Lord for that. But anyway, we see they oppress the defenseless. Finally, real quick, I want you to notice that the people failed. The people failed. And actually, before we move on, I have to say this. You know, it's a sad situation when you look at a nation and the defenseless are the ones being stepped on or trampled upon. But I'll tell you that, we can't really as America get too high and mighty, because that's what's happening with abortion. The defenseless are the ones that have no voice, the ones that have no power to make a decision. They're the ones, and I know we're not guilty of that here, but as a nation, we should pray for our country, because those are the ones that are being attacked now. I think of all those babies that have been murdered, and that's what's happened. They have been murdered, but they're in heaven. I do believe they're with the Lord, but it really is a sad stain upon our country, and we should pray that God will bless us, and that's what's happened. The defenseless are the ones that often get the... When oppression comes, the defenseless are the ones who feel it. Now, notice, we're going to close with this. The people failed is what basically happened. If you'll notice there, it says there in verse 10, "Arise ye and depart," he says, "for this is not your rest." He's telling them to pick up and go. "Because it is polluted, it shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction. If a man walking in the Spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people." Now, there are two thoughts here. Some believe that this verse is talking to Micah, that the Lord is telling him to arise and to move forward, to get over it. Some people believe that he was discouraged because of what was happening, and this was a message from God to him to keep going. But majority of people believe it was towards the people, where it says, "Arise ye, depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted, it shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction." And that was, people believe it was toward the people. Either way, I'm going to give you some thoughts both ways here. First, the people did fail. They failed in solving their problems. They were directed to rise up and depart from the land. Perhaps they were attempting to fix things. Today a lot of people are trying to fix the problems. And I'll give them credit. There are a lot of people who recognize we have problems in our country, whether it's with alcoholism, drug addiction, the other sins that can be listed. And there are a lot of people, I believe, and I wouldn't question their motives one bit. I do believe there are a lot of good people trying to solve the problems, trying to help people out. And we do a lot with reform, reasoning, and things like that. But the problem is you can't change someone. We don't have the power to change someone. We can put them on a 12-step program, and I'm not against changing or helping. I'm not against that. But what we're not getting to the root of the problem. And the root of the problem is the heart, and only God can change the heart. And so I believe it begins with a new life, of course, with salvation in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit coming in, and then lives can be changed. And I think in our country today, that's what we need to pray for. And that's as a church, that's our responsibility to take the gospel out and continue to go. But maybe they believe they had the answers. You know, I think today in America, a lot of people believe that we have the answers. But you know what? It failed. I mean, judgment was coming because they continued in sin. And notice the passage there, the comment it says there, because it is polluted, it shall destroy you even with a sore destruction. You know, that's what sin does to a land, to a nation. It pollutes it. Have you ever been by some of these large cities? You know, I know when we go back to Colorado sometimes, you can see Denver a ways out. You can see the pollution sometimes on a, even if it's a nice sunny day, you can kind of see some brown in the sky. That's what sin does to the land. It pollutes it in God's eyes. It makes it filthy. And the land was polluted because of all the sin that was there. And so I think God, of course, was going to not only bring judgment, but he was going to cleanse the land in a way. And so the people could come back later. And so we find that their ways were leading them to destruction. And finally, I'll give you some comments on this last section here, which I think is interesting. In verse 11, he says, if a man walking in the Spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he says, he shall even be the prophet of this people. I think they failed concerning their spiritual leaders. What I mean by this is, and we're going to see more of this in the next few weeks when we look at the next chapters as we come into this, they were looking for prophets, I think, basically that approved what they were doing. And notice what he says, if a man walking in the Spirit and falsehood, notice he says do lie, you know, walking in falsehood. And a man who is deceiving, in other words, a man who lies, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, even he shall be the prophet of this people. Basically, in this passage, Micah is telling him, says, you know what, even if a wicked, a deceitful man comes and prophesies and tells you these things, guess what? He's going to be your prophet. You'll accept him. And you'll believe him. And you'll listen to him. You see, the problem is they were looking for prophets that approved their sin and approved the way they were living. You know, Ezekiel refers to this. In Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 3, he says this, thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. You know, I think there are a lot of men, and I'll say this too, women in pulpits today that have seen nothing. They see nothing in the Scriptures. A lot of them don't even read the Scriptures. They come up with their own messages that they bring each Sunday. And that's what Micah is referring to. You know, men that would lie, probably a lot of them concerning their condition. Hey, everything's all right. You don't worry about it. Men that would encourage wine and strong drink, or some believe it's referring to men whose messages would be like that. They would accept it and just enjoy it as a drunkard does, wine and strong drink. I think it's referring to men or false prophets that would allow them to remain comfortable in their sin, would not trouble them, wouldn't stir things up. You see, because God's men declared God's word, they became the problem. Notice in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 17, we go back to just a few years before this with Ahab and Elijah, and it says this, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? I always find that passage a little bit humorous. Here comes God's man, loves God, serves God, faithful to God, and here's this worldly wicked king, and he looks upon Elijah and says, aren't you the one that troubles Israel? Actually, it was the other way around. Ahab was the trouble to Israel. Ahab and his sin and his idolatry was the reason why the nation was going down. Elijah was just telling the message from God and the truth. But you know, that's what happens when wickedness takes over a land. Those that live in truth and proclaim the truth become the trouble to the nation, become the sore thumb, so to speak, because everyone else wants to live the way they want to live. You know, think of this. They were looking for men that were like themselves, basically. Men that were filthy and wicked. You know, this morning, or this evening, I'll say this, today, I think, in our, you know, we bring this to our time, make some practical applications. I think many of our spiritual leaders resemble the ones in Micah's day. I really do. Many of our spiritual leaders today live for themselves. They live for their own personal gain. And as we go through the next few chapters, we're going to talk more about spiritual leaders and how wicked they were. But you know, today, a lot of spiritual leaders live just for financial gain. Their own personal security is number one. And secondly, popularity. They want a large crowd. They want a lot of people reading their books. And that's what it amounts to. Secondly, you know what also is happening in our world today with a lot of our spiritual leaders, a lot of our pastors? They're offering solutions to spiritual problems outside of God's Word. And that's the problem. That's the big problem. They're offering answers that you don't find in God's Word. They say, look within. That's the big one now. Look within. Be the best you can be. Everything's all right. You see, that's the problem. I tell you what, everything's not all right. There's sin, and that needs to be addressed. Also, here's another one. Some will say, well, all of us are God's children. We're all going to heaven because God loves us all. That's another one that's popular today. Once again, what's happening is they're offering solutions outside God's Word. You don't find that in God's Word. You know what the Bible teaches? The Bible teaches that we're all sinners in need of a Savior. We're heading the opposite direction of God. God has sent His Son so we could trust in Him as our Savior and we can be saved. But if we choose not to, then we are going to be separated from God. You see, when you talk about God's love is that He sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins. Another thought on these spiritual leaders today, many of them are more interested in pleasing the people than they are in pleasing God. And that's a big problem. And you know the result of that? We have a lot of religious Christians, but not true Christians. And we have that in our world today. Christians in name, but not in action. Christians on Sunday, but not Monday through Saturday. Christians who will claim to be Christian, but I tell you what, they're not living by God's Word if they're even reading God's Word. And so that's the problem we see in our society today. And that goes back, I mean, I think it was the same or similar problem to what Micah faced. Now, in closing this evening, here's what it came down to, I believe. When you look at chapter 1, and we get ready to, next week we'll just make some comments to end chapter 2, but I think what we find is the people did not want God's Word. That's just what it came down to. They didn't want to follow God's Word. They didn't want to abide by God's Word. They didn't want to serve God. They wanted to set up their own idols. They wanted to do their own thing, and they didn't want God's Word. They enjoyed sin, and they wanted men or leaders that would encourage them as they continue to sin. Ease their consciences. You know, make it easy for them to live in sin. And I think what had happened is they had become so hardened to the truth. And this can happen today too. They became so hardened to the truth that they gladly accepted the false teachings. I mean, they wanted those false teachings because they had hardened themselves to God and God's Word. You know, there are people in this world today, and I know not here, obviously, but there are people in this world that are hardened. They've hardened themselves so much to God that they'll believe anything else but not God's Word. And it amazes me. I mean, they won't even consider God's Word because they are so set against God. But then yet they'll believe in all these other, you know, stories and everything else. And it's because they've hardened themselves to God. You know, in closing tonight, here's the statement I'll leave you with. And I think this is what it came down to. And this is why the nation, basically not only the demise of the nation, but the guilt of the nation. They loved sin more than they did God. That's just what it came down to. They loved sin more than they did God. This evening, you're here, I believe you're saved. So obviously, you're not in that boat. You love God more than you do sin. You trust in Christ as your Savior, and you want to serve God. That's why you're here. You love the Lord. Let's just pray for others that they don't fall into this same trap and get to that point where they love sin more than they do God. And that's where they're going to stay because they just love their sin. Not just enjoy it or stumble into it, but they love it, and that's where they're going to remain. And let's pray. Now, I do believe that God's Word is powerful. And I don't believe there's anybody on this earth that's a lost hope. Now, God knows if someone's not going to trust in Him, but only God knows that. What I mean by that is we should take the gospel to everyone. Encourage them. You see, God's Word can penetrate the hearts. God's Word can change lives. And so that's what we need to do so we can see souls saved. And of course, we're not in the same situation as Micah. You know, our country's different. Our situation is different. But we can learn some lessons here. We may see some of the similar things happening in our country. We should pray for our country and do our part to continue being a witness for the Lord. So we're going to close with a word of prayer tonight. Next week, we're going to look at the rest of this chapter. Tuesday night is what we'll be doing next Tuesday night, the rest of this chapter. And we're going to see just a quick study next week on the nation, how God would send them away They wouldn't be forgotten, though. God would assemble them again. And that's what God was telling them here. That yes, judgment was coming, but they were still His chosen people. And He would bring them back, assemble them again. And He would, He, not them, He would make things right. He would set things straight. And so we'll look at that next week. Encourage you to read the rest of that, and then we'll get into the chapter 3. But we're going to close with